International. The Telegram. How to avoid Oval Office humiliation. A dozen officials offer tips on the dangerous art of Trump flattery.
When world leaders meet Donald Trump, flattery has its uses, but it is not a silver bullet. That is the considered view of foreign diplomats and American officials who have, between them, spent hundreds of hours in the room with America's 45th and soon to be 47th president. Their counsel is a timely corrective. For the usual wisdom on how to handle Mr. Trump could double up as advice on hosting a toddler's birthday party, with its emphasis on lavish presents, easy-to-eat food, and unlimited praise. In reality, Trump wrangling is a serious business. There are rewards for governments that succeed, such as Japan's. In the first Trump presidency, Japanese car companies avoided the big border tax that Mr. Trump once threatened to impose on them. Mr. Trump often grumbled to aides that Japan should pay billions more dollars each year for the privilege of hosting American armed forces, but no formal demand was put on the agenda. Rather often, Japan's good fortune is ascribed to treats that Mr. Trump received from the country's late Prime Minister, Abe Shinzo. Commentators recall a gold-plated golf club given at a first meeting in 2016 at Trump Tower, and the golf games that the two men played over the years, or the American beef burgers served during a visit to Japan in 2019. That is too simple. Mr. Trump was wooed as assiduously by his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, who fed him steak and ice cream at the Eiffel Tower and took him to a military parade. For all that, multiple sources relate, Mr. Trump disliked Mr. Macron, finding him snobbish and preachy. Foreign envoys and American officials offer several reasons why flattery alone does not move Mr. Trump. Most straightforwardly, says a diplomat, the next president isn't an idiot and cannot be seduced into changing his mind. There is agreement that Mr. Trump has a short attention span and does not read his briefings. He is a bully, arguing with the help of made-up facts and daring foreign leaders to contradict him. Please don't be patronising, was the heartfelt advice that a senior American diplomat offered allied governments on handling Mr. Trump before a G7 summit. He is called impatient with nuance, dividing the world into good and bad, winners and losers. But he is not stupid, say those who have seen him at work. They offer such labels as intuitive, instinctive and cunning. The late Abe had the knack of putting Mr. Trump at ease. His lineage as the Prime Minister's grandson helped, for Mr. Trump admires ancient bloodlines. For the same reason, he appreciated meeting Japan's imperial family and Britain's Queen Elizabeth II. Japan's Prime Minister knew to give Mr. Trump tangible wins. Noting the American's fondness for visual aids, he once handed him a colourful map of America that showed job-creating Japanese investments in different states, some marked with bright red new logos, like stickers in a car showroom. A delighted Mr. Trump had White House staff post the image. There is a second reason why flattery does not alter Mr. Trump's mind. His core beliefs on trade and foreign policy were formed in the 1980s and are impervious to change. Over the years, several foreign leaders crafted arguments to persuade Mr. Trump and ended meetings sure that these had worked. Then, at their next encounter, Mr. Trump had reverted to his original view. On this point, Gérard Araud, who was the French ambassador to Washington from 2014 to 2019, recalls a specific hazard, namely Mr. Trump's habit of seeming to concede a point when bored. He describes Mr. Macron spending an hour and a half in April 2018 trying to persuade his host to stay in the JCPOA a nuclear arms limitation pact brokered with Iran during the Obama administration. Finally, Mr. Trump appeared to agree. Leaving the White House, the French ambassador urged his boss to be very prudent in his pronouncements, sensing that a Trumpian change of heart on Iran was unlikely. A month later, Mr. Trump quit the pact. Third, flattery can make Mr. Trump receptive to a leader's words, but only if he also thinks that leader strong. As a former official in his administration puts it, Donald Trump has no friends. He respects people with power. To that official, Mr. Trump considers leaders to be powerful if they lead important countries and have the political authority to turn decisions into actions. Those he took seriously included Abe, Narendra Modi of India, Vladimir Putin of Russia, and Xi Jinping of China. In contrast, Mr. Trump loathed politicians who could not honour their promises and who responded to their weakness by becoming passive-aggressive. He included in this camp Justin Trudeau of Canada, France's Mr. Macron, Angela Merkel of Germany, and British prime ministers from Theresa May to Boris Johnson. Wise governments learned that Mr. Trump has a very clear sense of his mandate from an American public that wants him to put their interests first. Mr. Trump is both unique and more familiar than many allies initially cared to admit. France's Mr. Arnault recalls a meeting at which, frankly, what Trump said didn't make any sense, leaving American aides looking at their shoes. Asked for his reaction later, Mr. Macron told his ambassador, "You know, there is nothing to take out of that, but he's the most powerful man on earth." Yet shrewd envoys came to see that Mr. Trump's views have deep roots in American history. They saw continuities with the presidency of Barack Obama, whose courtly eloquence concealed a similar fatigue with allies. The moral of the first Trump presidency is that governments over-personalise their relations with America, says a diplomat whose colleagues are busy planning for all Trump contingencies. They should focus more on what they need to do for themselves, he suggests. He is right. Mr. Trump might even agree.